Thanks so much for joining us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. As we look forward to Thanksgiving, it is an amazing opportunity to give thanks to God. But when you look back on the day of Thanksgiving, it's amazing that God spared the lives of those that celebrated that first Thanksgiving in the tremendous battle for survival. When the pilgrims came across the ocean, extremely difficult journey. In fact, for 2 months, 102 people were wedged into what was called the tween decks. That was the cargo space of the boat that only had about 5.5 feet of headroom. They were actually between the top deck and the bottom deck. And no one was allowed to go above the deck because of the terrible storms. In fact, only one person died on this voyage. Now, the pilgrims constantly were comforting themselves during this entire voyage by singing the Psalms. But this noise irritated one of the ship's paid crew members, and he would harass the pilgrims. In fact, he said that he was looking forward to throwing some of their corpses overboard after they gave in to the illnesses that often would come as a result of trips over the seas. But as it turned out, this crew member himself was the only person on the voyage to actually become sick and die. And God providentially protected his people. Now, the little-known fact about the Mayflower is that this ship was normally used to carry cargoes of wine. And the wine spillage from the previous voyages had soaked the beams. And that acted as a disinfectant to prevent the spread of disease. And this very ship is the one that was chosen for all the pilgrims. And, of course, you know, there were two ships that they were going to come over on, but at the last minute, one ship had to be rejected, and everybody had to shove themselves onto this one ship. Well, that was the one ship that God had designed that would be their ship of protection. But during one terrible storm, the main beam of the mast cracked, and it certainly looked as if they would end up at the bottom of the Atlantic. But providentially, that means by the hand of God, one of the pilgrims had brought along a large iron screw for a printing press. And that screw was used to repair the beam and, of course, save the ship and saved everybody on board. And after 66 days at sea, they finally sighted what was Cape Cod, Massachusetts. But that was not where the pilgrims wanted to be. They had intended to establish a new colony in the northern part of Virginia. So they decided, man, this isn't right. The winds had blown them off course, and there were other Englishmen that wanted to settle in the northern part of Virginia, and so they bribed the crew to land them somewhere else. But once again, God was in charge, and the pilgrims were right where God wanted them to be. You see, because had they actually landed near the Hudson River, they would have most certainly been attacked by hostile Indians. But instead, when they landed at Cape Cod, there were no hostile Indians. There were no Indians at all when they made landfall. Because, you see, many years prior to that time, the local Indians had captured a Frenchman on a fishing expedition in that very region. And just as they were about to kill this Frenchman, he told the Indians that God would be angry with them and destroy them all and replace them with another nation if they killed him. Well, the Indians boastfully told him that his God could never kill them. But when the pilgrims landed in that same region, the land was already cleared, the fields were already cultivated, but those Indians who had prepared the land had nearly all died off of a plague a year or two earlier. And despite this provision of safety from hostile Indians, the pilgrims barely survived that first winter on the Cape. In fact, only four families escaped from burying at least one family member during that first winter. But yet God was still faithful. And in the spring of the next year, 1621, he sent an Indian by the name of Squanto, who could speak their language and who had offered to teach them how to survive in this new land. He was one of the few Indians that had not died of the plague. In fact, he'd actually been captured as a young man and taken to England as a slave. And during that time, he'd mastered the English language, then been freed and returned back to Cape Cod area. and Cape Cod was exactly where God wanted the pilgrims to land. So the pilgrims thanked God for this wonderful helper, and they shared with Squanto the most valuable thing that they had, and that was the gospel. Now, Squanto died within a year or two after coming to their aid, but before his death, he prayed that he might go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So it was good for him, and it was certainly good for the pilgrims. Now, other Indians whom Squanto introduced to the pilgrims were also impressed with their God. And so, the summer of 1621, when the year's corn harvest did not seem to be able to survive a severe drought, the pilgrims called for a day of fasting and prayer. And by the end of the day, it was raining. And the rain saved the corn, which miraculously sprang back to life. And so one of the Indians who observed this miracle remarked that their God must be a very great God, because the Indians had already had their powwow and their rain dances and everything else. And whenever that happened, many times, if they did get rain, the rain was so strong that the corn stalks were all broken down. But they noticed that the pilgrims' God had sent a very gentle rain that didn't damage the corn harvest. It was that same miraculous corn harvest that provided the grain for their first Thanksgiving meal with their Indian friends and helpers. And so when we consider just the fact that God is faithful, and that's what we celebrate when we come to Thanksgiving, that God is faithful, but yet the faithfulness of God is always something that comes in spite of great difficulty. In fact, when we read about Abraham Lincoln making the declaration that there should be a national day of Thanksgiving, many of us don't realize that it was only just a few weeks after his Gettysburg Address, as he stood on the battlefield there in Gettysburg and spoke the words of thanksgiving to God for sparing the nation. And he finally determined that our nation needs to be setting aside a day just to thank God for his providential care. And so on October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln read his declaration, and he said, "I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for the deliverances and blessings that he has sent us, that we would set aside a day." And so he said, "I therefore determined that we are going to set aside a day to thank God and offer prayer." You know, it's that attitude of gratitude that God loves to bless. And so many times we live in a world where we forget to be grateful. In fact, when Thanksgiving Day comes, sad to say, many times it's a day filled with football, and it's a day filled with feasting, and it's a day filled with families fellowshipping together, but many times not much about God. I want to encourage you to set aside some time this year on Thanksgiving Day and just begin to talk about the fantastic blessings of God. Maybe even give folks an opportunity to go around the table and talk about God's amazing blessings. Yes, it may be in the midst of some very horrible trials. In fact, you know the name Fanny Crosby. And she is one that said, "I thank God for my blindness." My blindness. As a result of a doctor's careless error when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. Now, it would have been very easy for her to be wrapped up in self-pity and bitterness and all kinds of things. But the doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself and moved from the area to just get away. But there was never any room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment or bitterness. And she said, I quote, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you, over and over again for making me blind." Because the blindness that many would have considered at best an accident and at worst a curse was considered by Fanny Crosby to be one of her greatest blessings. In fact, she accepted her blindness as a gift from God. She said, I quote, "I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice," end of quote. In fact, her first poem, written when she was just 8 years old, reflects that same perspective that she kept until she died at the age of 95. At the age of 8, she says, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved, and in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh, because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." And so for over a century, we have just enjoyed the many, many blessed songs that she wrote. To God be the glory, blessed assurance, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, all the way the Savior leads me. Over 8,000 songs that she wrote. And she said, "I thank God for my blindness." You know, when you consider an attitude of gratitude, it is that which God wants to bless in our hearts. Because when we become a grateful person, it's because we have become humble. Because ingratitude reveals a proud heart, but gratitude reveals a humble heart. A grateful person is always feeling a great sense of unworthiness. I've got so much more than I deserve. In fact, many times when people say, "Well, how are you?" the best thing you can say is, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." It should never cease to amaze you that God has saved you in the first place. And if that has yet to happen, it should never cease to amaze you that God would offer the gift of salvation in the first place. And when you consider the fact that of everything that you went through and your natural tendencies toward rebellion and living your life the way you want to, and maybe a bad family history, but praise God, the message of salvation has come to you. When I consider an attitude of gratitude, I can't be forgetful of what Ruth in the Bible said when her own husband died at an early age. She refused to become bitter. And she was, if some would say, condemned to live with an embittered mother-in-law. Remember Naomi. But when she came back to Israel during the days of the judges, she sought to support both herself and her mother-in-law. She was never bitter. She had an attitude of gratitude. And this is what I want to encourage us to be focusing on during this entire season. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let Thanksgiving be more than just a Sunday at church, more than just a day that you don't have to go to work. Let it be a day when we as families or we as individuals set aside some time to reflect, praise, and pray. When we do so, every other day will become Thanksgiving Day as well.